This is Jerry Bingham, host of Hush Loudly on WGN Plus.
Being in the sky feels like home to me. When I'm in the sky, all my troubles remain on earth and I feel free. The view is beautiful and it makes me feel like in tune with the air in the sky, which I love. I'm Juliana Rose Teal, astrologer, intuitive, energy healing, and author of Flying to Freedom. You're listening to Hush Loudly on WGN.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Hush Loudly. I'm excited to introduce you to someone that I've known for quite a few years now, Juliana. It's been since 2018, and I know why, because I met you shortly after my dad passed away. So it was 2018. And Juliana is an astrologer. She's written a book. She's an airplane pilot, helicopter pilot, and she is an introvert. So I am ready to jump in and tell you a little bit about her. She is an astrologer, an intuitive, does healing work, and is the published author of her memoir, Flying to Freedom. She has a degree in psychology from the University of Washington, a certification in addiction studies, and is a certified wellness professional. In 1998, she began studying and practicing astrology. Juliana is an intuitive and receives visions and messages during readings for her clients and occasionally does medium work as well. In 2001, she received her first shamanic training through the Foundation of Shamanic Studies. A few years later, she learned about color healing. She also learned how to repair damages in chakras, meridians, and the aura. She has integrated everything she has learned and does remote healings. She has a passion for flight and is a licensed airplane instrument rated pilot and a helicopter pilot. Juliana, welcome to Hush Loudly.
Thank you, Jerry. I'm happy to be here.
I'm so happy you're here. And I just have to say, I'm not going to take too long, but the way we met was I had booked an appointment with Juliana for astrology. I had never done that before. And someone that I respect said, oh, if you're going to this resort, you need to book this lady. And so I did. And we were in my session. She needed my birth date, time of birth, location, all of that stuff. And so she starts telling me what she sees. And then all of a sudden she says, you've lost someone close to you. I said, yes. And she said, father figure. I said, yes, my father. And then she starts saying these things. And so I say, wait a minute, are you a medium? And she says, well, I am so happy that sometimes I'm used as a channel. But no, I'm not advertised as that. You know, you booked an astrologer. And she said things that no one would ever know, that I will never forget, that messages that I believe came from my father about his favorite car, the apple tree that we had in the backyard that no one knew about, except for people who lived around me when I was seven, because I think we chopped it down at seven. So anyway, let me get off of me and jump to Juliana. So we've had a relationship for these few years, and I look to her for very interesting information about what's happening with the signs and the stars and in astrology. So I always have great conversations with her a couple times a year, and it's always fascinating to see how everything is true. Everything. So first, Juliana, I asked the traditional question, are you an introvert? And when did you know, or how do you know that you're an introvert?
Yes, I am an introvert with, I guess you could say, moments of being an extrovert. I can be quite chatty and social with people I feel comfortable with. And my chatty side also can come out when I'm talking about my interests, especially flying. Sometimes I think people forget I'm an introvert because of that. I probably became aware that I was an introvert in my 20s. That's what I'm guessing. Though I had heard the term when I was a child, but for some reason I did not apply it to myself back then. And I think why, it's because my situation was complicated by the extreme abuse I survived. Because of the abuse, I was very shy and insecure and kept to myself in my childhood. I was labeled a loner until I started high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then in high school, I had a small group of friends that I really enjoyed socializing with. And once I entered the university, my social circle grew mm-hmm. dramatically. And I had a big group of friends and had a great time with them. But I always needed downtime between our mm-hmm. gatherings. I guess that's typical introvert. I especially enjoyed when I would meet friends in smaller groups and meet friends one-on-one.
Yeah, we prefer that, or we like that. You know, we both have different sides of us. So the expert says there's no one that's 100% introverted or 100% extroverted, and we just turn it on and turn it off when we need to or based on whatever is happening in our lives. And people will still say to me, my friend Lisa texted me yesterday and said, I swear you're not an introvert, because I had told her how I had gone out with this new girl and we went and played simulated golf. That's a whole nother story. I had the best time. And she just teases me and will say, I'm not, and I am. And we know it's more about the energy, but also, like you said, it's who you're with. You know, so like with certain people, I could talk all day and all night. And then talking about introversion, something that I care about and am passionate about, I can talk about it all day and all night. So I get it. It's the same thing with you. But in terms of how introversion, we describe it as how you gain or drain energy, whereas we may need to gain energy in solitude. And being around a lot of stimulation and a lot of people can be draining to us, whereas it's not draining to the typical extrovert. And we just are different. That's all. And so you had started to talk about your life and how you were more shy and based on what you were going through as a child and through your teen and I think early adult years. So you want to share a little bit about that with us for people who have not read your book yet?
Yes, I grew up in Western Washington and lived there for over 3 decades before my husband and I moved to Arizona. And not long after we moved here, repressed memories of ritual abuse fully surfaced. And the memories were starting to come up when I lived in Washington, but fully surfaced here in Arizona. And I believe that's because the desert is so different than the green and rainy Pacific Northwest that it allowed my subconscious to realize that I was truly far away from where the abuse took place.
And what's ritual abuse?
I am a survivor of satanic ritual abuse. And that is a form of ritual abuse where I went through a lot of torture and a lot of emotional and physical abuse through this.
Mm-hmm.
And the satanic cults have a belief that there's going to be an upcoming battle between God and Satan.
Mm.
And for Satan to win and evil to rule, they must recruit as many souls as possible to Satan's side. Yeah, it's really horrific. And to recruit souls, they are trying to convert as many souls as possible to Satan's side.
Okay.
And that includes a lot of mind control and torture to gain control over people mentally, spiritually, and physically. And when the brain is traumatized, we tend to suppress memories as a way to protect ourselves.
Yes.
But when I moved to Arizona, well, the memory started coming up in Washington, but when I moved here, everything came up.
Hmm.
And once they did surface, I spent a long time dealing with and healing from what happened to me. I'd been practicing astrology for about 2 years when I moved to Arizona. And slowly, by word of mouth, my business grew.
Mm-hmm.
My work expanded to doing remote healings after I moved here and also discovered I liked flying. And then, many years later, I decided to write my story.
Okay, can I interrupt you? I want to go back. What led you to astrology? Do you think what you felt and suffered as a child led you to that, or do you know?
I'm not exactly sure. All my life, I had an interest in spirituality and metaphysical things, but I suppressed it because it wasn't accepted in my family. And once I got away from family, I was free to explore what I was interested in. And I always say that astrology found me. I didn't find it. Mm. Because what had happened was, after I graduated from the university, I spent many years feeling unsure about what career direction to take. I had, as you mentioned in my introduction, I graduated with a degree in psychology and then pursued a certification in addiction studies. And though I found the fields really interesting, I decided I didn't want to be a therapist. And I felt lost and did not know what I wanted to do in my life. And I eventually, years after I graduated from university, I met a friend who was studying astrology. Mm-hmm. And after talking to her about my astrological chart, I had to know more. And I bought 3 books and was completely hooked. Wow. 3 astrology books.
Okay.
And I spent 2 years studying and taking astrology classes and giving free readings to anyone who wanted one, and mm-hmm. even people who didn't want one. I was like, here, let me give you a reading. And at the end of this 2-year period, I gave an astrology reading to a woman that I had not met before, that was referred to me by a friend. And I was not planning on charging her, but when I was finished, she told me I had worked hard and the reading was wonderful, and she insisted on paying me. And right at that moment, I knew I found my life's work.
Okay.
Yeah, I think to tie into your question too, some of us who have gone through extreme abuse, I feel, have become even more compassionate to others because of the suffering we've been through. And so I have always really liked helping people and working one-on-one with them. And so my work has come really naturally to me.
And I want to ask about pilot flying. Tell us how you got there. What made you want to become a pilot? Was this also something that just came to you, or was it, you know, kind of like a freedom thing? I'm going to the title of your book, and I've started it. But tell us about that.
Oh, flying, there's nothing like flying. Just my feelings about it first. Being in the sky feels like home to me. Mm. And when I'm in the sky, all my troubles remain on earth, and I feel free. The view is beautiful, and small planes are, you could say, more affected by the wind and turbulence than like the big, heavy commercial jets. And it makes me feel like in tune with the air in the sky, which I love. My journey to becoming a pilot was also really unusual. I had a almost lifelong phobia of flying.
What?
And yeah, I really did. And before, I mean, and I was terrified. It's like I would squeeze my husband's hand during a flight. He would look at me and tell me, oh, read a book or let's watch a movie. And I would be like, no, I have to be vigilant in case we crash. And that's how scared I was. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't sleep for nights before.
Yeah.
But before, it was after I moved to Arizona, and we had a flight from here to California. And before this flight, a friend of mine suggested I take what are called flower remedies, which are essences of plants that work on emotional issues. There are like thousands of a part of plants and work on very subtly on emotional issues. And I did not think they would work. I took 2 of them for phobias, but they worked. And as we were boarding the airplane, my husband and I were really surprised I wasn't scared. And I was sitting in the flight, and I was like, I didn't know what to do. I felt like I had a huge hole inside of me where the fear used to be. Hmm. And the fear ended up filling up with the beauty of the flight, and I enjoyed the view and the sky and the clouds. And out of the blue, just like astrology, I just had a thought. I wonder what it would be like to fly in a small plane. And when we returned back home, I tried it and fell in love with flight and decided to become a pilot.
Wow.
The flight training, though, was really difficult for me. Even though my phobia of flying was gone, I had to deal with a fear of learning because of the abuse I went through. And I was not confident, like a lot of my fellow students I trained with. But over time, as I became more proficient with flying, my confidence grew, and eventually I became a very confident student pilot and knew I could handle any situation that came up in the airplane. And then after I received my license, I pursued different ratings and endorsements. And years later, I trained in helicopters and received my helicopter license. And a big learning for me was that flying taught me just a huge amount of self-sufficiency and increased my confidence in myself and my abilities. My self-esteem also increased with every single flying accomplishment. And it was just a beautiful healing journey. And even now, when I look back at all my accomplishments, I just feel a sense of awe that I did it all and feel proud of myself for making it over all the hurdles to get my license.
That's so beautiful. And I'm just thinking about how Arizona, so that the move, you know, and even how you describe it in comparison to Washington State, and then flying, it's all so related as part of your journey and your sort of journey to freedom and positivity and just sort of out of what you were dealing with as a child. That's such a beautiful thing. And also your connection to nature is so beautiful, because I get Juliana's newsletters and emails, and she'll send a video of birds and all kinds of things happening. And I understand you were friends with raccoons. And I read that in your book, how you had raccoons. And we are afraid. I'm afraid of a raccoon, Juliana. There's one that comes up on my back, on my deck, like a couple times a week, sometimes a month. And I'm in the house with the door closed, but they scare me because they're, you know. But anyway, you were friends with the animals and nature. And I just feel like all of that is related and just part of who you are. What do you think about that?
It is. I love nature. I love the earth. I love animals. I turned to nature, too, as a child because I was so isolated and abused. And nature was a place of safety for me and a place of beauty that I could focus on when the other areas of my life were not beautiful.
Wow. I've read that about even some of the tips for introverts when we need to recharge and regroup is just step outside. And I can't say that that is definitely the same for you. I mean, it sounds like it, but I mean, you've been through a lot more, but it's something about a oneness or being out in nature or just being out in the fresh air that is revitalizing. And it sounds like the same for you.
Yes, I have several ways that I recharge, and that is one of them. Actually, being in nature, walking in nature is very grounded. And people who live in big cities sometimes forget how important it is for our health.
Yeah, we do forget that, right? You're right there. It's in your backyard in Arizona. So,
yes.
And is there anything else you want to tell us about your book? I hate that I haven't finished it yet, but I love that. I feel like you're just such a beautiful person and a beautiful spirit. So what came out of what sounds like horrific childhood, you are such a beautiful person and have so much to give. And all you do is help and serve others. And there's some beauty in that, in my eyes.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, my book, it's been a really interesting journey. You know, as an introvert, I'm a pretty private person in a lot of ways. And before my book came out, my clients and even some acquaintances did not know a lot about my background. And people assume that, and I think people are most surprised when I tell them, writing my book was not that difficult. I actually have wanted to write my entire life, and I was absolutely thrilled to have a topic and to know what I was writing. And I mean, I was writing like every single day. I didn't have an issue with motivation. Sometimes I would wake up at 1 a.m. with ideas and have to turn on my computer and start writing. And I was enjoy writing. Obviously, there were some sections, some scenes that were more difficult to write. But overall, I really enjoyed writing. But was actually what was very, very difficult was hitting publish and putting it out to the world. That was tough because I felt extremely vulnerable.
Right, because it's a new thing for you, right? Or you felt that way because of the topic.
Yeah, and a lot of people were going to find out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and it was new, and a lot of people were going to find out a lot about me. And I really bared my soul in this book. And so I felt quite vulnerable, but the feedback has been amazing. It is so heartwarming. I've received emails and texts that I print out some of the emails and have kept them from not only trauma survivors who said they've been helped by the book, but also from those that haven't been traumatized have said they felt it was very inspirational. And that there's nothing better than that. Just watching it reach people has been such a huge gift.
I'm sure. I'd love to ask you, since you've heard from people and I know you talk to people, is there any advice that you could give to someone who may have experienced what you have or may be going through any similar or any kind of trauma? You know, because it seems like you've come out on the other side and are striving and thriving and doing well in terms of your sort of spiritual and mental and emotional health. Do you have any advice?
That's a great question. I would say there's a few things. One is for people that have experienced either ritual abuse or other types of abuse. First of all, getting therapy with a qualified and compassionate and well-trained therapist that understands what they've been through is essential. And for those of us who've been through trauma, we do need to deal with it directly with therapy. Mm-hmm. And in addition to therapy, other healing modalities like energy healings, and there's a lot of other modalities psychologically that can help too. Reading books on trauma and abuse, it can be really healing as well. Survivors can learn more about themselves and how the trauma impacted them through reading books. And abuse survivors, we often have nervous systems that aren't regulated. And that means we sometimes respond to stress more dramatically than those that didn't suffer abuse. And it can be really validating for survivors to know that these responses are normal and are because of an abnormal past.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with them. And there's also a lot of great books on that can validate and be helpful for a survivor. And I'm looking at my bookshelf right now. The Body Keeps the Score by Bessel van der Kolk.
Yes.
What Happened to You by Bruce Perry and Oprah Winfrey, Toxic Parents by Susan Forward, another book called The Polyvagal Theory and Therapy by Deb Dana. I have a lot more, like two bookshelves. I also tell people that have been emotionally or physically abused that they do not need to stay in contact with their abusers, even if their abusers are family.
Mm-hmm.
Just because someone is related to us does not give them the right to treat us badly.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel we need to set our boundaries. And if we are treated in a less than respectful way, and if we set those boundaries and the abusive behavior continues, we have every right to not allow the person to be in our lives, whether they're family or not. That, I think, is really important, and I know that from my journey.
Yeah.
But then, on another note, and probably the last point I'll make right now, is that at some point, if someone advances far enough in their healing journey, they need to spend time not thinking or talking about the abuse, but living. And by living, I mean survivors need to engage in their interests. Learn new things, do things that bring joy and that stretch and challenge them.
Mm-hmm.
And this helps the survivor become empowered and helps them build confidence, which are really things that the abuse it takes away from the survivor.
Wow. Thank you for that. That's some good advice for all of us, for anyone listening. Let me ask you to tell us, where can we find your book? And also, if listeners are interested in booking an appointment with you for astrology reading or an energy healing, what do they need to do to get in contact with you?
Let's see. They can find my book on Amazon.
And what's it called? I don't think I said the title. Say the title.
It is called Flying to Freedom, Healing from Ritual Abuse Through My Life's Work and Flight.
Okay.
So it has a long subtitle. And they also can find it on my website, but there's a link to Amazon on my website. And my website is JulianaRoseTeal.com.
Okay. Well, thank you, Juliana, for taking time to speak with us today on Hush Loudly. And we wish you much success. And I just keep thinking, I can picture you in the cockpit. I swear, I'm visualizing that right now and you smiling. So thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Enjoying Hush Loudly? Please subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts and wherever you listen to us. Did you know Hush Loudly has t-shirts? Yep, show the world you're an introvert without saying a word. We also have t-shirts for the extroverts in our lives who need us. Go to hushloudly.com/shop.